Job 35. Elihu continues. Now he's speaking to Job. Do you think this to be your right, or do you say, my righteousness is more than God's, that you ask, what advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have if I had not sinned? Well, again, he's twisting what Job is saying. Job had not said, I'm more righteous than God. And yet Elihu sort of quotes Job as if that's what he said. It's so annoying and upsetting, isn't it, when somebody says, you said this, and you didn't say that, and they've twisted your words. So all this makes us long more and more for God to speak. And don't worry, in a couple of chapters he's going to speak. Elihu says, I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see. See the skies which are higher than you. If you have sinned, what effect do you have against him? If your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Well, no, God is sensitive to human sin and to human righteousness. And again, God is going to make that point. So Elihu is just repeating what the friends have said at different times, but he's trying to make out that he's saying this originally from himself. Your wickedness might hurt a man as you are, and your righteousness may profit a man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry for help by reason of the arm of the mighty. So he's saying, yeah, you might hurt men or you might please men, but you won't please God or upset God. God's too great to take any notice of you. Whereas Job has said, no, God is involved in my life. Oh, that he wouldn't keep testing me every moment that I live. Give me a break, he says. Now, Job sees God as very near to him, whereas Elihu and the friends like to see God as very distant. Elihu goes on, but none says, where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the animals of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds? There they cry, but none gives answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear an empty cry. So he's saying, yeah, you're crying to God, Job, but God won't listen to you because you're not sincere. That's not true. How much less when you say you don't see him? The cause is before him, and you wait for him. But now, because he is not visited in his anger, neither does he greatly regard arrogance, therefore Job opens his mouth with empty talk, and he multiplies words without knowledge. Well, again, partly true, partly not. Job does later put his hand on his mouth and say, yes, I have spoken that which I didn't understand. And yet God says, no, but Job spoke about me that which was right. So, as I say, the problem is that Elihu's coming out with a mixture of truth and error. He's misrepresenting Job, twisting his words, just like the friends did. And this is the whole problem with looking for comfort from men, looking for understanding of our position from men. Truth is, nobody can actually totally understand you apart from God, and now Jesus, because Jesus didn't exist in Job's time, but because Jesus had our nature, he can and does totally understand. And in fact, the more you see how these so-called friends didn't really help Job, the more you see that he was longing for somebody who did. And we also long for that, and we have that answer now in Jesus.